Father, we thank you for the good word of God, and thank you for such a spirit of freedom here this morning. Just joy and strength in the atmosphere, and as the prophetic word came forth, Lord, that you filled this house with your peace and your wholeness. Lord, it is from that posture we sit together around the scriptures here this morning and invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come teach us and mature us, Lord, to be more like you. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning. Or if you've got a phone app, you know, a Bible app on your phone, sorry. Then let's take them and hold them up together. This is my Bible. We are who God says we are. As Christ's followers, we abide in Him. We walk in His ways and we do His works. We are disciples. Amen. Not church members. We're disciples. We're students and learners of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to continue our brand new series this morning, Pathways to Partnership, as the Lord is building a culture of honor in our hearts. Some of you know it's got to start in our hearts first. He's building a culture of honor in our hearts and in our minds, and we're good soil. This is a house of good soil. So he's building a culture of honor in our hearts within a culture here in America right now that's immersed, I would even say addicted to, dishonor. Devaluing people, devaluing people's opinions. You know, hey, if you don't believe like me, I got nothing for you. I got no respect for you. All that's garbage. Do not fall into that. We are people of honor. Isaiah 60 says, arise, shine. For your light has come and the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon you. That word glory is honor. His abundance, the wealth of his spirit will be seen among us. Okay. We don't want to live in such a way and act in such a way on social media and those things that communicates, hey, I'm important and you're not important because of what you're saying or what you believe. It shouldn't be that Christians can be as rude and cruel as the world. It shouldn't be that way. Amen. Three or four of you on board. Thank you, Jesus. But we're living in a culture that's immersed in and addicted to. I told you about what the New York Times had written, where people are getting addicted to things to be offended about. Devaluing people, creating strife. When there's no honor in a culture, and when we talk about honor, the word honor means dignity, respect for one another. How about respect for each other's giftings? If you look around this morning, there's a lot of different personality types and a lot of different giftings. Who's behind that? The Lord is. Unity is not sameness. Unity is diversity and oneness of spirit in that diversity. Amen. Can I get a witness? Male and female are not biologically the same. But when they're in union, they bear fruit. So it's in our diversity and when we join together in our oneness that we bear much fruit that looks like Him. So be it, Lord. So when there's no honor, there's no dignity or valuing each other's opinions and giftings and assigning weight to each other in a culture, then fear enters. In the absence of honor, you're going to get fear. We see it in our country today. And when people are afraid, they grasp for control. Any politicians grasping for control of America these days? It's not just America. I mean, throw in China, Russia. Everybody's interested in grasping for control here of this country. But as I've told you before, it's all fake power. Real power. Jesus said in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. So I'm giving it to you to go and what? Make disciples. We have authority to go make disciples. He didn't say church members. Go make disciples. What are disciples? Students and learners. Intimate followers who walk with Jesus. On a what? On a daily basis. So we have authority. We don't need to chase fake power. Now, do we vote? Do we care? Yes, of course. I'm not saying that. But as I've said before, if your hope is in a politician or in one of these political parties, oh my goodness, I'm praying for you. Our hope is in the King and His kingdom. That's the form of government that has my primary loyalty, is the kingdom of God, which can change the inside of a human being. So When people start grasping for control, then what do we have? Strife, competition, yelling matches. And James 3:16 says, where there's strife and self-seeking, every form of evil is present. So strife and bickering is a gateway to Beelzebub. I told you this in part one. It's a gateway to Satan coming and reproducing, Lord of the Flies, reproducing in death and decay. So he loves strife and division and all that nonsense, but we are not of that culture. Somebody say amen. So the Lord gave us five core tenets at the beginning of the year. How many of you think he knows what's going on? How many of you know he knows what's going to happen even before it happens? So before 2020, the Lord says five core tenets are going to rule the day inside your lives, inside of Grace Church. Number one, honor. Number two, humility. Number three, trust. Number four, unity of spirit. Number five, hearts for reconciliation. That's incredible to me. That on the cusp of 2020, not knowing, I mean, we didn't have any idea of what this year would look like, but the Lord did. He knew what we'd be facing in the culture of the United States of America. And so he prepared us for it with these five core tenets. Why did he do that? So we wouldn't fall prey to the snare of the devil. And that's building a culture of death, darkness, and division. But Jesus Christ is building a culture of light, life, and love. How about this? November the 14th of 2019, the Lord gave us a word that said a portal is opening over Grace Church. Right here in the Spirit and before my throne, that will form partnerships that are strife-free, sin-free, and stress-free. As humility wins the day, and no one cares who gets the credit, but only that he is glorified in and through Grace Church. That was in November. There's a portal that's opened over Grace Church where we can have sin-free, stress-free, and strife-free relationships. That's partnership. Let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's been our core passage so far. Verse 23, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Needs to say, avoid social media, avoid television, avoid. As I said last week, it's worth saying again, I don't even watch the news anymore. If somebody gets back on there and starts opening scripture and saying, I believe this is what God has to say about what's going on in our country, then it's just foolishness to me. I'm not messing with it. They're not giving you truth, people. They're not giving you godly perspective. It's a worldly, secular worldview. Void of the Spirit of God, and it's their opinion, and beyond that, it matches their agenda and their platform. So anyway, avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. A servant of the Lord, that's us, everybody say that's me, must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. Wait, no, gentle to some. Lord, gentle to whoever believes like me. Because all my, conviction and my esteem is tied up into getting somebody to think like I think. Man, flee that stuff. Just line up with the Lord and His Word. So, be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God, perhaps, He would grant them repentance, so they may know the truth. Why are we dealing gently? So they can come to the knowledge of the truth. We don't want to fight evil with evil, or anger with anger, or ugliness with ugliness. Verse 26, and that they may come to their senses, look at this, and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Well, what's his will then? Strife, division, ignorant disputes that don't amount to anything. The word gentle here in verse 24, I looked it up in Strong's, means kind, be kind to all, mild. I love this. It means calming words that bring God's order to a situation. Calming words that bring the order of God into a conversation. Or a situation. Didn't James say the wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness of God? So us getting mad's not working God's righteousness. In a culture where it's in vogue to argue, cool to criticize, the Lord wants us to shine like the noonday sun and to help people be aware of the enemy's snare, which is division, death, dissension, strife, and all that. How about Romans 16, 17? Here's a new one for you. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses. And the Greek word for offense there is a trap. It's the Greek word is scandalon. It means a trap, a snare. Literally, it means to take the bait. Don't take the bait of offense and arguing. Nobody can make you be offended. You have to take it. You have to choose to be offended. Amen. Amen. Amen? Because greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world or the one arguing with you. They're not Lord of your life. They're not your vine. Jesus is your vine. So therefore, you can absolutely choose not to be offended even when people are being ugly to you. So note them. They cause division and offense contrary to the doctrine which you learned. Avoid them. Verse 18, for those who are such don't serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetite. They serve their own belly and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. My goodness. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I'm glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and be simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Amen. Amen. We're not repaying evil for evil. We're trusting in Him. I'm putting my faith in Him that the God of peace, wholeness, will soon crush Satan underneath my feet. Oh, amen. Amen. So we see here from Romans 16, 17, division and offense are tools of Satan. He'll use them in your marriage. He'll use them in your family. So be leery. The word division here in the Greek means this, dissensions, and listen to this, to wrongly separate people into pointless factions. Verse 19, be innocent of evil. The word simple means innocent, pure. I love this. Not mixed with evil, not tainted by it. So when he says, be simple concerning evil, be innocent, be pure. Don't allow yourself to be tainted with all that's going on. In dealing with difficult people, how many of you have dealt with a difficult person this week? Now include yourself. Yeah, both hands. Remember, when we write a book on dealing with difficult people, we're going to include ourselves. We're going to dedicate it to ourselves. Amen. In dealing with difficult people, don't be deceived. Everybody say, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. People are not your enemy. Deception is. Deception is the common enemy among human beings. So if someone's opinion about something sounds way off, God-awful, if we did that, it'd destroy our country, our marriages, and our families. I don't expect you to respond with anger. I expect you to respond with compassion. Bless you. Because deception is your enemy, not that person. They've been deceived. You and I ever been deceived? I would dare to say right now, you don't have perfect theology. Is that fair to say? You don't know everything. Amen. See how humility is a precursor to honor? If we'll humble ourselves and acknowledge, hey, I've been deceived. Man, my heart breaks for you. I've been there. That's just worldly thinking, brother. It's just worldly thinking. I'm praying for you, or can we talk? Or I don't want you responding with anger if somebody is deceived and has a different, you know, political view or all that stuff. I want you to respond with compassion. My goodness. We can, by our good conduct, silence the ignorant talk of others. Look at 1 Peter 2:15, New Living Translation. This is the will of God that by doing good, you can silence the ignorance of foolish men. And literally, you know, if they come against you with foolish accusations, foolish arguments. Verse 16, live as free people, not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Verse 17, honor all people. Are you upset that the word all is in there? Thank you, Dottie. Honor all people. Honesty is a character trait of God. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God and honor those in authority, the king or governmental authority. Man, honor all people. What do? Well, I want to honor whoever honors me. I want to honor the people I like. I want to honor the people that believe like me because my beliefs are incredible. I tell you, that's why I showed you that scripture last week. Two men went to the temple. One of them said, God, I thank you. I'm not like that guy. I'm way better than him. Jesus told that parable to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. They trusted in their own belief system and behavior that they were better than other people. So he told a parable. And he said, one guy said, I thank you, I'm not like him. The other guy said, he wouldn't even look towards heaven, beat his breast and said, Lord, have mercy on me. I need you. Jesus said it was the second man who left church that day justified. Amen. Well, I'll never forget Jesus telling the Pharisees. You don't hear this quoted much, but I try to quote it as often as the Holy Spirit brings it to my remembrance. Jesus told the Pharisees, because you say you can see, your sin remains on you. If you would admit you're blind, your sins would be forgiven. We have to acknowledge we don't see and know everything. And yes, we have core convictions and core beliefs, but if you know by the Word and the Spirit of God that they are truth and they are liberating for people and for our country and for families, if you know that and someone can't see it, you've got to pray for them. You've got to respond with compassion because they're being deceived. Can I get a witness? Is anybody else besides me not glad that Jesus didn't give up on us when our theology and belief systems were jacked up? I mean, think about it. He's probably right now thinking they're still jacked up in a lot of areas. But I'm working on it. Yeah, I'm working. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. You're still not seeing and believing everything just perfectly, I promise you. But the beauty of it is he never gave up on us. He never said, Donna, I'm done with you. I can't believe you would believe that. I can't believe you would think that way. He never said that to us. So where do we go with that? Jesus will never be different through you than he is to you. If they're blind, pray for them. If they're blind, have compassion on them because you know what lies will do. You know what deception will do to them. Write this down if you're taking notes. This is really good. I don't want to allow the brokenness of others to break me. Don't let the brokenness of others break you. How about this? Don't let the ugliness of others ugly up your heart. Don't let the ugliness of others' behavior ugly up your mind or mess up your day. Amen. Be able to say, hey, the Lord is my shepherd and I don't lack for anything. I don't need something from you. I don't need some kind of validation from you to make me feel okay. I mean, if you really believe it, if you know it's the truth, you don't need their affirmation and validation that you don't need them to believe it to feel good about the truth. Remember in John 12, Jesus said, if someone doesn't believe me, I don't judge them. He said, the truth will judge them in the last day. That's a powerful statement. So if we're on the side of truth, then we don't need to yell at everybody who can't see it. We pray for them, have compassion on them, and understand that out arguing them is really not going to amount to anything. What I want to do is let them know I don't need to beat you in an argument because the truth will bear out what I'm saying in the end. Amen. At Prayer Shield yesterday, the Lord spent a lot of time with us, as I mentioned, on being His essence and His fragrance everywhere we go. You know, we want, when people encounter us, to know that we've been with Jesus. Do you remember that in the book of Acts? They were uneducated men. They, you know, weren't much in this or in that, but they knew they had been with Jesus. And the Lord's calling us to follow Him. That's what all this talk on discipleship and disciple making is about. And if you've not seen The Chosen, I'm begging you to watch it. Because when Jesus in The Chosen, which is it's an app on your phone you can download, that's depicting, you know, the ministry of Jesus, when He would ask someone to follow Him, right? Matthew, follow me. That meant something. It wasn't flippant. It wasn't like, Matthew, would you like to go to church? You want to sign a card so when you're dead you can go to heaven? No, he's enlisting them in the cause of Christ to fill the earth with righteousness, peace, and joy. Amen? It's an enlisting to follow Christ. And so we hear this, we say, Lord, I want to walk out my obedience. I want to live this life that you're calling me to. I don't want to succumb to those around me. So here's what we're going to do. Number one, fight the right fight. Oh, this is good. Fight the right fight, people. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of. So what's the fight over? Your faith. That's what's really going on. The enemy is attacking your faith. And by the word, the word faith here means faithful. Will you be faithful to stay connected to me while they're yelling at you? They've got a differing view. Will you stay connected to me? What is the fight going on? The fight is with you and you being faithful to Christ. The word also means fidelity. Will we be found in fidelity, loyalty to Christ? And then he says, lay hold of eternal life. That word is zoe, the God kind of life, to which you were called. So we want to fight the right fight. So what am I saying? It's not the devil. It's not your feelings. And listen, it's not what Joe said to you. Your fight is not about what Joe did to you. It's your faith that's under attack. The enemy is just using Joe and what he did or he said to you. But his real challenge is your faith. So fight the right fight. Don't fight Joe. Amen, somebody. Understand that it's your faith that is in the fight right now. So how do we do it? Well, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So take the sword of the Spirit. Get full of the Word. Can I get a witness that Joe's behavior might be up and down? And if your name's Joe, I apologize. But life and circumstances go up and down. People aren't always going to treat you right. But Scripture says that God's Word is forever settled in heaven. So God's Word is what settles you. It's the word of God that settles you in the midst of strife or chaos. So faith is this key empowering ingredient to walking out the five core tenets of honor, humility, unity, trust, and reconciliation. Why? Because if my faith is in Christ, I can be given to someone else. I don't need them to give me love to love them. I'm safe. I'm safe in Him. I'm trusting in Him so I can be given. I can serve. I don't have to repay evil for evil. I can overcome evil with good because I'm locked into my faith. I'm walking by faith, not by what they say, not by what I feel, not by what I see. His perfect love in me allows me now to trust, allows me to honor, allows me to walk in unity. How about this? I know we mess up, so you got to get up every day, regardless of what happened the day before, and put your robe of righteousness on. Put on your wedding gown, church, every day, because you're married to Jesus. Remember the word fidelity. The fight is about your fidelity. Be loyal to Jesus. Stay connected to Him, regardless of what's going on and being said around you. Man, a lot of times, fear and anger are brothers. So what happens is you got afraid. Remember fear? Faith, okay? You got afraid, so now you're arguing, now you're upset, now you're grasping for control of something. Faith doesn't need control. Faith is in control with the living God. Woo, amen. So we're going to get up every day, no matter what happened the day before, and we're going to fight the right fight. And I'll give you one more. I'm not a student of politics. I'm not a learner of the drama of the United States of America. I am a student of Jesus Christ. I am a learner of Jesus Christ. I lock eyes with Him every single day. Every day. I'm not going to get sucked into all that stuff. All the drama. How about this? Never let a stumble or a sting of regret move you off His vision. Don't let a stumble or a sting of regret move you off. Set Him as your priority. Remember, He said in Matthew 13, you have three modes of receiving. Where are your eyes? Because they're a receiving mechanism. Where are your ears? That's a receiving mechanism. And where's your heart? Because whatever lands in your heart and grows there is going to produce. Whether it's good seed or bad. How about this thought? What if our fight isn't with the person that has a different view than we do? What if it's a fight over who's Lord of our life? Yeah. Who's really Lord? Who's really source? Who's master and owner? Which is what that word Lord means in the New Testament. They don't own you. You don't live and die with what they think. We have to crush the doctrine of no lordship in the Western church. Because in the Western church, people have fallen into just easy believism. I believe that Jesus died and rose again. He paid for all my sin. Well, the demons believe that, and they're not saved. But the idea that somebody can be a Christ follower, yeah, I'm a Christian, and yet their value system, their attitudes every day, their speech, their beliefs, and their behavior are way more akin to the world than they are to the one they say they follow. I'm telling you under the unction of the Spirit of the living God that Jesus Christ is calling us, and I'm including the church, to lordship. That we would really, really give our hearts and our mouths and our attitudes to Him. How about our value systems, our beliefs, our behavior, that He could be in charge of us every day? Not, yeah, I got saved and now, you know, I ask Jesus for favors every once in a while. Things aren't going my way. Jesus, can you help me out? Man, give your life to Him. Love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen. As a follower of Christ, He said, if you don't love me more than your mom, dad, your spouse, and all that, you can't be my disciple. There is a death involved in following Jesus, and it is yours. That you die to yourself. See yourself as crucified with Him on the cross and yield yourself to Him. Amen. So we want to follow Him. Number two, use the right lens. If you see a politician, if you hear a certain politician and you start raging and harsh words start flying out of your mouth, vile thoughts start coming to your mind, there is a 100% chance you do not see that person like Jesus does. Amen. Two hand claps. Amen. It's the truth. If you see a politician on TV or you see somebody and venom emerges in your veins, there's a 100% guarantee you don't see that person like Jesus Christ does. Because everyone is someone for whom Jesus died. Everybody on the planet. Our honor of others comes from God's view of others. Oh, woo, the flesh don't like it. The flesh is screaming. I can hear it. Our honor of others comes from God's view of others. Don't work up self-effort. Don't pull yourself up in the flesh. Oh, Lord, I'm working hard. That person, I hate them, but I'm working so hard to love them and honor them. Don't even do that. You're wasting time. What you need to do is align your view of that person with Christ's view of that person, because Christ doesn't have to work hard to love them. He died for them. Hallelujah. I said it earlier. Remember how Jesus saw you when you were them. And all your beliefs were way off. So your oneness with Jesus is empowering, because that's real love for that person. Fake love and trying hard to do something you think Jesus would be proud of you for is religious and ugly and not powerful. It always helps me to do this. Father, I pray they get what you desire, not what they deserve. That's what we need to pray. Father, let them get what you desire for their life, not what they deserve. Now, where's that come from? I didn't get what I deserved. Comes from humility. If God was willing to grant me the desire of his heart, which in 2 Peter 3:9 says, God is patient, not willing that any would perish, but all would come to repentance. If I didn't get what I deserved, I don't want them to get what they deserve. It's a good prayer. Everybody that God's looking at is someone he created, someone he loves, someone he died for. Again, he's patient, hoping that they come to repentance, to know him. How about this? No matter what age they are, no matter what color they are, no matter what political party they are, what country they were born in, where they came from, no matter what their profession is, no matter how much money they have, he is patient, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Deception and fear are great enemies in this hour. People aren't our enemy. Deception and fear are enemies. If you are deceived, church, you can't see. And if you can't see, you can't walk out your obedience. And if you can't walk out your obedience, you can't help your family and friends walk out their obedience. Luke 6:39, Jesus said, can the blind lead the blind? Nope. They'll both fall into a ditch. So don't be blinded by the blizzard that's going on. Distraction, deception, decay, darkness, arguing, fussing, fighting. Stay out of the blizzard. Get tethered to Christ. Get tethered to the truth. Because if you can't see, you can't lead. If you can't see, you can't lead. And if you can't lead, we got blind leading blind. Let's make sure we're abiding. What does that mean? Live connected to Jesus all day, every day. Stay connected to him. I know he's with you always. I know he doesn't leave you. But we can choose to live connected to him and have his view of other people. Man, I pray a lot. Lord, I want to hear what you hear them say. I don't want my flesh hearing. I want to hear what you hear them say. I want to see what you see in them. And then the third one is be spiritually minded towards the natural realm. I love this one. Be an influence of the natural with the spirit. Be an influencer of the natural realm. So don't ignore the natural realm. Hey, don't even disdain it. You realize he put us in the natural realm. Why? So we could influence it. So we don't run away from it. But we need to be influencing it by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is huge for us to get. Romans 12:21. Don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So I don't want to try to escape the natural. I don't want to ignore the natural. I want to influence the natural. John 6:63, Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. What's he mean by that? What's he bringing to us? My words are spirit and they are life. This is a different dimension than the natural realm. Matthew 4:17, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Jesus came introducing a different dimension that we could live by, a different source, a different reality. Don't you think it's true when we sin or we struggle, it's because we're connected too much to the natural realm? We've been suckered in. Okay? We end up toiling. Man, how many times have we tried to win the war in the natural realm? So we get drawn into it. We succumb to it. It overtakes us. We get in the flesh, whatever. that we end up apologizing. Hopefully. So don't ignore the natural. Don't look down on it like everything natural is bad. It's not. He put you in the natural realm to be governed by His Spirit so you could influence the Spirit. Influence the natural by the Spirit. Okay, last one. I'll start Romans 12 and we'll wrap this up. I hope those help you. Fight the right fight. Use the right lens. Be spiritually minded towards the natural realm. Let's go to Romans 12 and we'll just kind of get started here. Gavin, you guys can come. Let love be without hypocrisy. In other words, let your love be pure. Who's got the purest love you know? Jesus. So yield to His love. You love because He first loved you, right? Yield to His love on a regular basis. So your love's not fake. Christianity is not the imitation of Jesus. You can't just imitate Jesus. Good luck. Right. It's the indwelling, the literal incarnation of Jesus. His life is in you. So I was telling somebody this the other day. We don't utilize prayer to assert ourselves and tell God what we want. We utilize prayer to surrender ourselves and align ourselves with the life and Spirit of Christ that's in us. I don't use prayer to tell God what I want Him to do. I use prayer to listen to Him and participate with what He wants to do. Amen? Now, you're not going to hear a lot of that here in the Western Church, but that is really the life of prayer. That's the really life in Christ. We cannot try to imitate the love of God. You've got to be submitted to it. Don't strive to love. Yield to the love of God that's already in your heart. Yield to it. Align with it. And the flesh will fight you on it some. Maybe a lot. But we want our love to be without hypocrisy. In other words, we want it to be pure. Abhor what is evil. Not who. Abhor what is evil. We war not with flesh and blood. Remember that. Cling to what is good. And I love this. Be kindly affectionate to each other with brotherly love. And here it is. In honor. Give preference to each other. Not lacking in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Isn't that good? We're going to go all the way through the end of Romans 12 in this series. But man, these are words right here to live by. Prefer each other. I want you to begin in your homes. Write it on your refrigerator or wherever you need to. We want a culture of honor and humility in this house. Let's always be honorable towards each other. And how do we be honoring towards each other? Let's prefer each other. If somebody's talking, really listen to them. Not, hey, I'm watching TV. If they're talking, listen to them. TV will still be there. I don't even encourage you to watch it, honestly. But do this in your home. A culture of honor, a culture of humility. Let's be humble towards each other. Let's be honoring. If somebody's talking, we want to listen and pay attention. Because in a culture that devalues people's words, devalues their value, and devalues their opinions, we're not going to be that way. Not in our home and not in this house either. Amen? Will you stand with me? Let's stand together. What do you got there? That sounds good.
It's the rattle, the new song.
Oh, can you do it by yourself?
There's people waiting to So let's come up, guys.
Yeah, come on up. Let's. You guys like rattle? Oh, I love that song. I love that song. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank You this morning for the power of the Holy Ghost that administrates the Word of God. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We're not condemned, but Lord, we're encouraged this morning. We've been placed into courage to fight the right fight. Lord, and to participate with Your life and Your Spirit and Your truth, to be difference makers in this culture. To not succumb and be conformed to the culture of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, by the Word of God, through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God. I thank You, Lord, that no weapon formed against us can prosper. I thank You that greater is He that's within us than he that's within the world. And Lord, that we are warriors in the Spirit. We are those of the Spirit who do not shy away from the natural realm, but rather carry the influence of Your Spirit to the natural realm. We love you, Father. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship Him this morning.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.